No Treason by Lysander Spooner. Introductory. The question of treason is distinct from that of slavery, and is the same that it would have been if free states, instead of slave states, had seceded. On the part of the North, the war was carried on not to liberate slaves, but by a government that had always perverted and violated the Constitution to keep the slaves in bondage, and was still willing to do so if the slaveholders could be thereby induced to stay in the Union. The principle on which the war was waged by the North was simply this: that men may rightfully be compelled to submit to, and support, a government that they do not want, and that resistance, on their part, makes them traitors and criminals. No principle that is possible to be named can be more self-evidently false than this, or more self-evidently fatal to all political freedom. Yet it triumphed in the field, and is now assumed to be established. If it really be established, the number of slaves, instead of having been diminished by the war, has been greatly increased. For a man, thus subjected to a government that he does not want, is a slave. And there is no difference in principle, but only in degree, between political and chattel slavery. The former, no less than the latter, denies a man's ownership of himself and the products of his labor, and asserts that other men may own him, and dispose of him and his property for their uses and at their pleasure. Previous to the war, there were some grounds for saying that, in theory at least, if not in practice, our government was a free one, that it rested on consent. But nothing of that kind can be said now, if the principle on which the war was carried on by the North is irrevocably established. If that principle be not the principle of the Constitution, the fact should be known. If it be the principle of the Constitution itself should be at once overthrown. No Treason, Number 1. Part 1. Notwithstanding all the proclamations we have made to mankind within the last 90 years that our government rests on consent, and that that was the rightful basis on which any government could rest, the late war has practically demonstrated that our government rests upon force, so much so as any government that ever existed. The North has thus virtually said to the world, it was all very well to prate of consent, so long as the objects to be accomplished were to liberate ourselves from our connection with England, and also to coax a scattered and jealous people into a great national union. But now that those purposes have been accomplished, and the power of the North has become consolidated, it is sufficient for us, as for all governments, simply to say, our power is our right. In proportion to her wealth and population, the North has probably expended more money and blood to maintain her power over an unwilling people than any other government ever did. And in her estimation, it is apparently the chief glory of her success, and an adequate compensation for all her own losses, and an ample justification for all her devastation and carnage of the South, that all pretense of any necessity for consent to the perpetuity or power of government is, as she thinks, forever expunged from the minds of the people. In short, the North exults beyond measure in the proof she has given that a government, professedly resting on consent, will expend more life and treasure in crushing dissent than any government openly founded on force has ever done. And she claims that she has done all this in behalf of liberty, in behalf of free government, in behalf of the principle that government should rest on consent. If the successors of Roger Williams, within 100 years after their state had been founded upon the principle of free religious toleration, and when the Baptists had become strong on the credit of that principle, had taken to burning heretics with a fury never seen before among men, and had they finally gloried in having thus suppressed all question of the truth of the state religion, and had they further claimed to have done all this in behalf of freedom of conscience, the inconsistency between profession and conduct would scarcely have been greater than that of the North in carrying on such a war as